observations of that practice, or
the words came again.
They do.
And then they changed to a whole different tool.
Good. Really good. You did.
I, at the beginning, I could just tell that my neck was really kind of all stuck, and it was keeping my mind from really relaxing also. Mm. And I just kind of kept breathing with that and kind of changed the way I was sitting, my posture, and then I had that more calmness.
Good. I mean, it's so amazing what can happen in just these few minutes. You know what I'm saying? And people don't realize the power of this. These practices have been done for thousands of years. You know, they've been passed down, and there's a reason. There's a reason that they developed them and that they did them, and we just get busy. We think we're going to figure it all out with the mind. Yeah.
Everybody would just sit and breathe for 15 minutes a day.
And not even that. We haven't even been doing it that long, and see what happens. Each session's been short. Doesn't take that much, but a little bit, you can see it really makes a difference. Al, for you?
I'm afraid I'm spoiled by doing with too much food.
Oh, that can happen. That's okay. Are we helping your digestion?
Yes, that way you can be willing to bless them.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes I've noticed that when we have visiting lamas, especially from the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, they don't eat before they do their, you know, especially before they teach. You know, they'll always eat late in the evening, and I'm like, God, it's going to be 10 o'clock when we get back. It's like, it's okay. I don't want to eat before I go. I'll have some tea, and that's it. You know, there's a reason for that too, I think, because it's too much going here. But that's okay. We hope you enjoyed your lunch. Jana, Joe, any feedback?
It's very relaxing.
You're always relaxed.
Very nice. For me, it was going through the different levels, and on the passion level, I could feel myself shaking.
Okay.
And then just almost wanting to cry.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And just, you know, that kind of release, and just remember, just, you know, go ahead and let it go. Don't.
Yeah. Yeah, right, exactly, sucking it in.
Up.
Right.
Feel it starting to contract and just don't give into that feeling of withdrawing further inside.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that meditation can, it's almost like when we realize where home is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just sort of feel like, oh my God, you know, it's so good to be home in a way. And we can feel that in our meditation. We're going to do some work in just a few minutes with these breaths. That's why I'm really glad you came, because I think you're ready. There's not things I can do. I don't feel always like I can do some things at the college, but these other kinds of breaths become a little more esoteric. Although this one I think I can share there. But the elemental breaths, because it touches on those different parts of our being. And really want you to be aware, that's kind of why I wanted to talk us through without a lot of concentration on other things, sort of feeling those different parts of our being. And seeing that kind of evolution or development takes place in those different levels of our being, not always in sync with each other, you know. I really like the idea of trying to sync up. You know, we're trying to sync up with ourselves. So I wanted to talk about, I'm now moving away from this chronology of teaching and getting into something very specific on a particular, two particular breath practices, one sort of mentioned inside the other, and we've done them before, but I thought, I don't recall having shared this at the class, I've read it myself, so anyway, if we've heard it, it's good to hear it again. And this was by a collective interview on August 30th, 1926 with Hazrat Inayat Khan. And in that, he said, "Breath is the most important part of our life. In other words, breath is our very life. The one who is ignorant of its nature is ignorant of life. The one who is led by the breath is the slave of life. The one who controls breath is master of life." The words "led by breath" mean that it is the breath, its speed, and its change into different elements and into different directions which conducts all the affairs of man's life. A person ignorant of this fact is led by the breath and experiences conditions in life as they happen to come. And therefore, life becomes not his kingdom, but a prison. The words "led by breath" mean that it is the breath, its speed, and its change into different elements and into different directions which conducts all of the affairs of man's life. A person ignorant of this fact is led by the breath and experiences conditions in life as they happen to come, and therefore life becomes not a kingdom, but a prison. So I would like to elaborate a little bit on this with some commentary and also some practice. Because hear what he's saying. You know, it was so fascinating to me that it was like this framework, and as we evolve, we understand these things perhaps somewhat better. But the fact is that the breath has certain directions. So if I do this, how does that feel to you?
Depressed, sad.
Yeah. So if we're constantly in that kind of breath, what's that going to do to the body? What's that going to do to the affairs of our life? What's that going to do to any task that we undertake? We're going to be exhausted. There's no energy for it before we even begin. You get that? That's what he means by the direction of the breath. But if we're natural breath out, maybe a little more on the inhalation, you feel the difference? The whole room starts to brighten up. You can feel that. And this is how we can influence each other with the breath. If we're not in control of our own breath, you see how easy it would be to get absorbed in someone else's breath? And not even know it. We're just all of a sudden feeling this way, and it's like, whoa, what just happened? It's because we're not mastering our own breath, not in tune with our own breath and our own rhythm. And we can get drawn into the breath of another. And also, if we can control our breath, then we can offer that breath as an aid. So if we're in healing, we can uplift, open our patients. if we're in teaching, we can inspire our students, you know. If we're in an office, we can encourage people when they're feeling tired. You know, just by the breath. It doesn't even need to take any words. It's just... So we can see that. Now, if someone needs peace, I gave you two examples, a real strong exhalation and a real strong inhalation. So one's a down breath and one's an out, up breath. But if one's in the need of peace or calm, what direction would that breath move? Just, what do you think? Doesn't have to also, I'll give you a clue, doesn't have to just be up and down. It can move out, spreading out. You see? Expansive. So that breath would be. Can you feel it? Can you feel it a little bit? You can experience it. You can do it for yourselves and feel it. So, if we're feeling excited, we can use the to kind of ground us. If we're feeling tired, we can use the kind of brightness. If we're feeling anxious, we can use the to give ourselves more space. Can you see how that will work? So that's what he means by into different directions. Now, we've done the elemental breaths, many of us together. I may have even done them a time or two at college. But these elements have their own direction. And we've done them with color, which I will give, but don't get too caught in the details. Try to feel the element. Because if you can look at this, you can start to analyze your own life and circumstances on this elemental scale. Okay. So when he talks about, I'll say a little few more words and then we'll do the breath. So the element of earth is, of course, our ground. It's the thing that makes us feel stable and it supports us. Now, if you have too much earth, though, what do you think that might lead to? Because it's this grounding effect. So too much earth, you know, everything has its light and shadow, and it can be defined by those two things. So the light of it, you know, the positive thing is, of course, we feel supported, we feel grounded, we feel stable, we feel balanced. But if we get too caught in earth, and that's the only element we're functioning in, what will it lead to? Heavy,
lethargy.
And depression, and lethargy, you see. So now we have a clue. If I need stability, I can go to the earth element, but if I'm stuck there, and I'm feeling depressed, or lethargic, or, you know, I might have too much earth going on. I might need to look at moving to another elemental level. And then the next one, so we have earth, and the next level is water. Okay. It's something we can contain still. You know, we can sort of feel it in a certain way. And that element is an element that teaches us how to be in motion, moving constantly with life. It teaches us about accomplishment, moving forward. You know, we hear the slang, going with the flow, so to speak, you know. But it teaches us to be fluid in things, not to be rigid. Or too much earth, maybe someone's very rigid. They have that, I know the truth, or they have self-righteousness, you know what I mean? And that can be earth. And then, but the water softens that earth, and it can help us learn to be more fluid, more flexible, moving in life and accomplishment, you know. But too much of that, what can it do?
You have no moorings for your
life.
Yeah.
Wishy-washy comes to mind. Do you know what I mean?
All over the place.
Yeah. You know, like being batted about, you know, by the waves of life, so to speak. So we can see that that can create a kind of instability. And then fire is the element of our passion. So we feel love, and we feel lust, and we feel anger, and we feel, you know, I mean, they're wonderful, powerful emotions, but, you know, you kind of have to be a little bit of a fire handler, too. And people are, I think, most afraid of that element. Because it, what does it do? What does fire do?
It extinguishes things.
It extinguishes things. It moves very quickly. Can very quickly get out of control. Yeah?
Yeah, but transformative.
But it's transformative. And for me, I think it's the one that, you know, like I really want to master that one because I think that's the one that can purify us, it can transform us, it can give new birth. It also is the element of what else does fire do? I mean, we can feel our passions, we can feel these really intense sort of states with it, but it offers another element. It doesn't just burn us.
Light.
Light. It offers us light. So it's a very much, it can be an illuminating element. Okay. We have to look at that. If I need illumination, people want to go, woo-hoo-hoo, I need to be up there. No, maybe you really need to feel this path, this, the nitty-gritty of life, you know, and that can be very illuminating, not to escape it. A lot of people on the spiritual path want to bypass all that, but that's kind of the stuff we can't gain great insight in life if we're not living it. Taj?
I was just going to think, mention the myth of the phoenix.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, mm-hmm. Going through that. Mm-hmm. Any other comments about that element? As we're talking about them, can you feel them in your body and where you might identify them? And then air. We have a lot of that going around right now.
Okay.
The air element, they say, is the element of mind. It could be the element of imagination. Think of that. You know, that's where these ideas come from. It's like they come from nowhere, you know. So in this sort of system, and it's a very old system, as I've indicated, that's the element. It's a very, it's like an idea or a thought, you know. It's like it's there, but it's not there.
It's the one element you can't see.
And you cannot see it. You can feel it, but you cannot see it. So now we're going up this elemental scale. You can see that, you see. And I have mentioned it before that I've participated in India these Vedic fire ceremonies where they build the sort of the oven or the pit in these different levels. It's actually built, you know, in these elemental levels, and actually it starts like this and it goes up. And then, and again, each element represents these different parts of our reality. And they purify these elements with offerings that represent those different elements into the fire. And then we see the fire everywhere. You know, it's like they're going to the side of this tornado, there'll be an eternal flame, for example. Mm-hmm. And but when you think about even that, I think about how all the elements are to play there. There has to be a base to contain it. You know, that's the earth. And then course the fire, and then the air helps. I mean, a fire can't exist without air, right? It gets extinguished. So all those elements are there, and they usually fuel it with something that's liquid. So all those elements are there, and I think about that. So anyway, the air element is very good for someone that is in the creative arts, but too much of it does what?
Makes you crazy.
Makes you crazy.
Makes you totally spaced out.
Spaced out. See, we have all these terms. You know, I think about those terms of the 60s. It's like...
Hands on your head.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Think about it. Yeah. So we have these even in our common slang, you know.
Is air...
Leah.
Well, you say it's mine. Would air... But I think of mind sometimes as reasoning, which is perhaps more like the art of being. Is
could
mind
be.
More like intuitive, or thoughts that come from you don't know where?
In this instance, you know, it could also have that element when I think about people like Einstein, for example. Mm-hmm. I would suspect he had a lot of air. Mm-hmm. You can't think like that if you don't. That kind of imagination. But it also required scientific analysis. So I think you're right. It probably has both those elements in it. I mean,
what the other one has?
Earth, for being the rigidity of reasoning, logic.
But they, you know, I've heard stories of people, because I used to live in Boston, you know, and he was at MIT, and I hear people tell stories about, like, he'd walk down the street, his shoes wouldn't be tied, his hair was all messy, he couldn't count change, he'd like, I mean, because he couldn't think like that. You know, it's like, I don't know, how much is it? Take the money. You know, he couldn't think in that simple way because he was so expanded in his thinking, you know, and so I think he was very air, and yet he was very profoundly intelligent.
So that's, from my experience, I relate that fire is something that interferes with this earth element facet of thinking, but fire is compatible with more of the intuitive air aspect of thinking.
But have you ever met people, I'm sure we all have, because I can identify several of them in my life, where they're talking, and before they almost complete one thought, they're like, and that's like, that's air and fire working together, but not very balanced. You know, they can't even like bring a thought to complete fruition before they're off to the next one. And they may be incredibly imaginative, intelligent people, and they're totally not functional, though. Yeah? There's those imbalances. Leo, really? It's not time to wander. If he wants to go sit out there, it's okay. He may want to do that.
Down.
Okay, thank you.
I know.
So, so now is that kind of clear what he's talking about, these different directions and the different elements? And that if we're ignorant of this and we're led by the breath and experiences conditions in life as they happen to come, and therefore life becomes not one's kingdom but one's prison, because we're so susceptible to these elements and these different directions that we have no mastery. Everything. Yeah. So he's telling us here, really essential to understand the breath and to work with the breath. And that's why not all of us, Buddhists work with the breath every day. We know that mindfulness meditation practice. For us on the Sufi path, we do this elemental breath, which I'm going to teach you every day. We do it every day. It's the one practice that was given to all students every day, because that's exactly what he's telling in this teaching. We need to understand this practice. Nothing else is done. This one should be done. And it never changes. It's the one base practice that was given in this particular path. But I can tell you from my studies in Tibetan Buddhism, that's the one that I'm familiar with, that when you look at a mandala, all the elements are there. When you look at the different ways in which one receives a teaching, those are also elemental qualities that one's absorbing. So, the body, when you get a blessing or an empowerment or an initiation, they say you receive first through the body. And what would be the body then? Which element?
Earth.
The earth. Okay, and the speech. Be water. And the mind. Air. So we're getting, and then we get what's called the vase empowerment. It's the inclusion of all of them, which is the etheric element or space, where all the elements converge and also dissolve. Like things come from nothingness, they return to nothingness. We hear that in a lot of different religious traditions. So this is sort of this, it's like a secret in here, in this few, you know, this is like two sentences, and what amazing secrets are in this. You could read this if you didn't know, you know, It's amazing, though. Extraordinary teaching here. This is what I mean. When you study, for me at least, I've been on this path for 20, I think more lifetimes, but for 20 years sort of studying this deeply. And when I, you know, like 20 years ago when I read that, I'd go, oh, that's really interesting. But now, only after doing the practice, do I really understand what this means. And I've been doing that practice, the elemental practice, and studying the directions of the breath for 20 years. And really, I can't say I'm a master in any way. I just have a greater understanding, and I hope that we can learn together, because I learn every day from it. I really do. Does that make sense? Okay. Shall we try it?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, there's one more thing. We've recently been taught by the son of Hazratanayak Khan, who was, his father died, Hazratanayak Khan died when this man was 10. Now he's 90. But he recalls having witnessed his father and mother doing these practices every day and remembers the instructions that the father gave to his mother, and because he said he used to hide under their bed because they used to do them in their bedroom. So I think it's a wonder. He said, Mom, my bedroom was next. There were four children, but my bedroom was next to theirs. Well, because they wanted to keep an eye on me. But I guess when they would go down for tea before their practices, he'd run from his room and hide under the bed. And they would sit in front of this area where there was a mirror so he could sort of see them and see the reflection at the same time. So, you know, what a great gift. His precociousness has kept this teaching really alive, you know, for us. And he's visited us here in the city a few times. And he... Did you come to the concert day? I can't remember.
No,
yeah,
was
it was his music. But he talks about how we concentrate on these different parts while we're breathing because the kundalini, you know, nerve that comes up the spine and sort of concludes, although the journey travels all the way back through, but... You know, some people think the objective is just to get up here, but that's only half the journey. Then you have to bring the energy back down. But at any rate, this concentration stimulates certain parts of that nerve. So that's why we're concentrating on those different parts of our head, because it brings about... and you may feel something, you know, like a tingling or a pressure, or, you know, there may be some awareness. I don't want to... predict what that would be, but there are certain signs that you'll, with the practice, experience. And that's why we're given these indications to concentrate in these places. There's a scientific reason, and again, this comes from thousands of years ago when the yogi Shanti Dev developed these yogic breathing practices. So I'll just talk us through them and we'll do them together. The first breath will be the element of earth. We're going to start at that level and we'll work our way up the elemental scale. And we'll be concentrating with eyes closed at the tip of our nose. So it's as if we're glancing there, but our eyes aren't open and we're not making our eyes go cross-eyed. We're just... The glance is down, in other words. We're concentrating at the tip of the nose. And all of these elements have a corresponding color. And the color for earth, it's said to be gold, but you might also want to think of it like the golden color of sand when the sunlight hits it in a certain way. Or it may be a more vivid form of gold for you. But they to concentrate at the tip of the nose and there to see this gold in light. Now the breath of earth is in the nose and out the nose. And the direction of earth, as you might imagine, is a horizontal line. So it brings about stability and it brings about balance. It brings about qualities like strength and courage. bridge. So we're concentrating at the tip of the nose. We're seeing the color gold, and we're breathing in the nose and out the nose. And with that, we're invoking those qualities of earth, the physical properties, the stability and support. Then we think about strength and balance. And we breathe in the nose and out the nose. And the rhythmic pattern is what we did before. In 4, out 6. So I'm going to count only 2 or 3 rounds, and then we're just going to reside in the breath and try to retain. Most important is that you feel the quality, but if you can retain the rhythmic pattern as well, it's very good. So I'm going to give instructions one more time. Eyes closed, concentrating at the tip of the nose. The color is gold. There we should see a golden light. And we concentrate on a horizontal line moving in all directions. This feeling of spreading out, offering stability. The breath is in the nose and out the nose. In the nose and out the nose. So we're going to breathe out, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. In, 2, 3, 4. Out, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, in, 2, 3, 4, out, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, in, 2, 3, 4, out, 2, 3, 4. 6, in, continue counting, The next breath is the breath of water. There we concentrate on the bridge of the nose, just kind of where the nose connects to our face, just on the bridge there. The color is a kind of green color, almost like the color of my shirt, but that's the actual color of water. If you've ever seen water, it's pure sense. But this color can be more vibrant than that. So it's like that color, but more vibrant. And you see that light there at the bridge of the nose. The eyes, again, are directed toward that part of the nose. The element is, again, the element of accomplishment. It helps us to move forward in life. You know, in feng shui, they put the water element in the quadrant of earth, of wealth, so that it's increasing, okay? That there's motion happening, you know? So think about that. That's a very interesting concept because the elements are at play in that system as well. But at any rate, for our practice, we're concentrating at the bridge of the nose. The color is this beautiful color of green, kind of like a jade green, like a beautiful piece of jade. That's actually a beautiful visualization, but it's in the form of light. Our eyes are directed towards the bridge of the nose, and this time the breath is in through the nose and out through the mouth, because water naturally descends. Okay, so earth was a spreading motion and water is a descending motion. So get the visualization, green, beautiful jade green at the bridge of the nose. The eyes are directed there. The breath is in the nose and out the mouth. The element of accomplishment, the element of moving around obstacles, the element of our emotional state. Start as counting. I'll count two or three rounds and then I'll just let go of the counting, but you count internally. And I know it's a lot, but again, this is all kind of the technology that can bring about mastery and accomplishment, really, and realization ultimately. So start with an exhalation. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, in the nose, 2, 3, 4, out the mouth, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, in nose, 2, 3, 4, out mouth, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, in, out mouth, in, out, continue counting on your own. next breath is the element of fire, element of our passions, of purification, of transformation. The concentration is at the center of the forehead. The eyes are cast there, now upward. The breath, inhalation in the mouth, exhalation out the nose. The motion is rising, like the fire rising. The color, as you might imagine, is red. Or you might envision a sort of dancing flame there at the forehead. The fire teaches us how to illuminate our lives, to illuminate the true meaning of our passions, to transform them sometimes into compassion and love. Light. And the breath, just kind of get that, the visualization at the center of the forehead, eyes glancing there. The breath is in the mouth and out the nose, rising, rising. Let's all exhale together and we'll start the practice again. I'll count a few times and then I'll let go. Try to get the rhythmic pattern going on your own. So start by exhaling through the, exhale through the nose. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, in the mouth, out the nose, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, in the mouth, 3, 4, out the nose, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, in, 2, 3, 4, out, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, in, out, in, out, continue counting on your own. next element is the element of air. Here we concentrate at the top of the head on the crown, and there we see the color blue, like the color of the sky today. Beautiful blue, clear blue. Light, though, in the form of light. The eyes are cast upward towards that part of the head, almost like you're looking at the inside of your skull. Again, the element is air, and this breath is in the mouth and out the mouth. The direction that they've assigned to air is zigzag, kind of as if you're seeing a leaf in the wind, how it just goes every which direction. So eyes glancing towards the crown, seeing the color blue, the breath is in and out the mouth. Tibetans call this element not air, but space. So you might want to think of it that way. Space. Let's do the rhythmic pattern together. It creates harmony within the group. We'll start with an exhalation, and again, the breath is in and out the mouth. So out, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. In, 2, 3, 4. Out, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, in, 2, 3, 4, out, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, in, out. Thank you. last element is the element of ether. Again, all the elements converge, and all the elements come from this element. This element is the most subtle, in some sense. It's the most slowest moving element, too. Very slow. So this breath is now, we complete the cycle. The breath is in the nose and out the nose. And it's on your own rhythm, but it's very, very refined. It's as if you've come into a kind of equipoise in your meditation. And it's as if you've been in meditation for a very long time. And the visualization that is given is to visualize this white orb, or it could be a crystal or a diamond, above your head. And descending from even farther above that is this light that penetrates through this orb, and when it does, the light goes in all directions, cascading over your body and through your body. And the breath is very, very subtle, like a great meditator that's been in meditation for a very long time. In and out the nose at your own rhythm. And it may change as you cycle through different elements in this state. But the breath remains in and out the nose, and you have this visualization of light. Cast upward as if you're looking at this orb of light and the shaft of light descending into it.